I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
We are back with our nationwide, critically acclaimed Maximize Your Life tour.
Yes, I'm.
You excited?
I am.
I'm excited, too.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the press release ready. In my trademark, no-nonsense style, Michaels uses the live, in-person, interactive show to connect directly with her fans.
This is true. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Yeah. This powerful and personal event aims to help you define your goals, harness your potential, and live the life you want. Also true. Mm-hmm. And I do that.
Yes, you do.
I deliver.
Yes, you do.
I don't speak in platitudes. I am the how-to of transformation inside and out.
So?
Well, come.
Exactly.
Come.
We are coming to a town near you.
Yes, we are. Nationwide. Cities across the country. So to get tickets, information, checkout dates, and cities, just go to www.JillianMichaelsLive.com. Are we on? Janice went to her healer. What kind of healer? This is going to be good. This is going to be good. A spiritual healer?
No.
A foot healer? A heart healer?
Okay.
A head healer? Oh, I'm in heaven. This is going to be heaven. Everybody just settle in.
You know how I've had trouble with my foot? The thing. So and none of the Western ways were working.
Okay.
Is that what you call it? I don't know. Yeah. None of the classic ways of dealing with my foot with this. So I was at agility with Millie, and my agility teacher, I was kind of limping around, and Millie was doing all the jumps.
The dog teacher's the healer?
The dog teacher told me about this. She goes, oh, you should go to Ada Lou. And I went,
Ada Lou?
And I went, well, who's Ada Lou? And she goes, well, she saved my knees. And I went, oh, well, geez, pass me the number.
Oh.
So?
She waved some sage over your knees?
No.
Take the devil out of them?
So I went.
Oh, your feet.
I went to Ada. No, she did the what's it called?
Myofascial release, which is basically deep tissue massage.
Deep tissue massage.
Yeah.
So she did that, and it really, honestly, it helped a lot.
It does help a lot because it breaks up scar tissue and adhesions. Absolutely. A lot of physical therapists do it.
Well, but I couldn't find a physical therapist. Anyways, but Ada Lou did it. So anyway, so I kept going to see her. So I've been to like maybe half a dozen times. And I went to her. What day is it? Yes, I went to her yesterday.
Oh.
And we were doing, she goes, oh, look at your shoulders. So, you know, and I'm standing there. And so she started working on them. She goes,
well, Ada Lou's a homo.
No, she's not.
I feel it.
I do,
oh,
too.
You know, let me, now.
Oh, this is it. This is Project
But
Awesome.
She said.
Initiated Janice.
Yes.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Mm-hmm. Look
you
at your
shoulders.
You have your
work cut out for you.
Wow.
She said, she's working, and then she said.
She said, look at those
would
shoulders,
you?
Big boy.
You're such a jerk today. She said, can I talk to your shoulder?
Wow.
And I went, Now, okay, I've done a lot of work. I know it's hard to believe, but I've done some work on myself. So I'm very impatient when people say, can I talk to your shoulder? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know when you examine yourself? You lead an examined
kind of like
life.
A pet psychic. I do love when they do you mind if I talk to Richard? And there's Richard. Right.
Yeah. No, so I had a heart.
The pet psychic thing doesn't go anywhere either. I just say call Caesar.
So she said to me, and I said, I don't think that's going to happen. Right? Oh. She goes, "What?" She goes, put Janice aside and just let me talk to the shoulder. And I went, oh. And I was having a real hard time. And she had me this really awkward position. So I
awkward
said.
Awkward position.
Oh, my
Hello.
God.
Hello.
So.
Massage oils then, and candles were lit.
Thank you so much.
No, there was no massage oils.
Hey,
it was in the middle.
Shoulder. You're looking a lot like a boob. Just missing a nipple.
Huh? That's perverted.
Oh, okay. Have you heard yourself talk about.
Would
Go
you
on.
Let me tell my story?
Okay.
Without you two. Look at how polite Autumn's being. She's
Autumn is
listening.
Horrified and probably nauseated.
So she said, I want to talk. So anyway, I tried really hard. Isn't there is that woman dead in her van?
Wait, what?
Okay, does that not look weird out in the van?
Well, there is a. Well, we should tell people what's going on.
There's a white.
Janice, this woman's about to have sex with Janice's shoulder, but then out the window of a recording studio, there's a woman that is dead in her van. I think maybe she's just texting.
Yeah. Well, she hasn't moved for, like, my whole story. And
well,
that's a long
tell
time.
Tell your story, and if she hasn't moved till then,
we'll
send
out.
Jake out.
We'll send Jake.
Okay.
Yeah, she's not moving.
No, she's just kind of bent.
Maybe she's asleep.
Well, that's kind of an odd. That's the way my shoulder looked when I was with
She's asleep with her.
The shoulder whisperer.
Uh-oh. She might be dead. Well, wait, finish your story, because here's the thing, if she is dead...
No, I'm not going to finish my story!
No, because if she's dead, listen to me.
If
she's dead, she's dead.
Yeah.
That's what I tell Heidi all the time, when the kids don't make sounds and she wants to go up, I'm like, listen to me. If they're dead, they're dead. And if they're not dead, you're just going to wake them up.
No, but
I
am certified in CPR. I could save her life. Don't forget, I have the nurse's cape.
It's been 3 minutes. The brain function is done.
Yeah, I think she's done.
Oh, she... No, she's moving. I just saw her breathe.
Are
you sure?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, look, if she's still dead when the segment's over, I'll send Jake out. So you're laying down with lit candles and massage oils.
No, there's no...
And she's going to talk to your shoulder.
It was fully in the daytime. There's no... Anyways, so she's got me cranked over like this, right? And it's very painful.
Ow. Yeah.
Right? You've been to massage where it's painful. Anyway, she goes... Oh, she's alive. There, she just moved. happy day.
I actually think it would have been way funnier if she was dead.
That would have been
a funny segment. I wonder if that segment would have got a capital letter.
Dead it would have might have got a Marconi.
Yeah. Oops. Forgot about that. Son of a bitch.
Anyway, so I said, she said, can I talk? So I said, I will try. So she goes, what do you, anyway, so she says, what do you look like? And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, you look like a hinge. It's a stuck hinge. Anyway, so I'm starting, so all of a sudden the shoulder starts talking.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, my God, my shoulder's talking to the lady.
Okay.
So, but what...
You mean you were channeling your shoulder for the lady?
I was trying very hard to take Janice out and let her talk to the shoulder.
Oh.
Because that's apparently what you do in Soma. Somatizing.
Actually, that's very real.
It is.
My mom could tell you all about it. Somatizing is when people internalize past wounds and injuries into their physicality. It creates, it's the same thing. High blood pressure, stress, right? Ulcers, stress, even though H. pylori is a bacteria that can cause ulcers. But regardless, though, the body is dramatically affected by emotions and stress. And somatizing is when you take a tragedy and you internalize it, and it does damage. They believe that fibromyalgia is about somatizing.
Really?
Yeah. My mom's so you've a heard, pro so on this stuff, of course.
It's a so,
Dr. Joanne McGarris.
So, but it's so anyway. So she practices this, and it's an old way of healing, which I didn't know. Anyway, so what it came.
I don't know that my mom would talk to your shoulder. She'd probably talk to you about your past. But yeah.
Yeah, but there is certain things that were they anyway. So yeah. So I tried to take my editing, my judgment out of it.
Okay.
Anyway. After a long time, and I was just like, I am really uncomfortable. Finally, but it came out that it was about, I'm stuck in this place because it was about the stuff in the house. All my mom's stuff in the house that I can't clean out, right?
Yeah, no, I know. You've been dealing with that for such a long time.
It was like, oh my God, this is where this is coming from. Because now there's so much, and bless her heart, you know, my mom comes from the Depression era, right? My mom and dad.
I didn't like to get rid of anything.
Nothing went. And I don't mean to beat this to death. I know I've talked
about it.
But like now I actually have to duck and weave to get around places in the house. It's just like, I am just, right? And she just went, so she started digging. Of course, you know, if you give them a bone and they just start digging.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. So it's like you throw out, right? And you throw out feelers and you see what pings and then you follow that path. And yeah, that's right.
But so what she said.
I really wanted to make fun of you, but this is actually interesting.
But so, and then she said, and then we talked about the stuff, and I don't mean stuff, the belongings. I hate to say stuff because it sounds cold and callous, which is my issue.
It is stuff.
It is stuff.
Though.
It is stuff.
Your mom is not her stuff, sweetie. It is stuff.
Right. However, and I have to make that difference that it's. And then she said, and I said, I try to give it away. And she goes, don't judge people who don't want it. And I went, oh wow, because I do judge people. I judge some members of my family for saying, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want that statue?
And they don't want it.
And they don't want it.
Colin. I always find like that's a spiritual lesson for you because I've never had any problem giving stuff away. Did I tell you my shrink calls me, forgive me, you're going to have to quack me, literally the shrinkologist. Because so much crap comes in the house, right, from the kids and Heidi can't throw anything away. And I am the master of getting rid of things. And we fight all the time because all I do is manage the flow of shit into the house,
right, right,
out of the house. And I just, like, I give it to the housekeeper. I give it to, like, the poor. I give it to, I'm like, oh, my God, baby clothes, baby toys they've outgrown. Like, furniture we're done with, clothes we don't wear. Like, out, 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 stuff. And I do feel suffocated by the stuff.
Right, and which
but
is...
But it's not my dead mother's stuff either. So that's not
however,
quite the
Jillian,
same
you know what I'm doing, though? And I'm looking for the perfect place for it to go so that it will mean something.
Yeah.
It's my fault. I'm not just phoning saying, hey, would you like this? I want it to, you know, I'm making... I'm adding
but
this layer onto it.
I think you
it.
Need some perspective. And I think this is a really valuable lesson because I find that the universe gives you what it thinks you need, right? Not to sound sort of kooky. But the reality is I probably wouldn't have any problem giving away that stuff. But you, because it's like it's got all this like it's stuff and it means and you've attached all this stuff to it and it's got to be the right play and the stuff and the stuff. And I think you're missing the whole point is that the stuff means nothing. It was about the relationship that you had with your mom, the love you had for her as a person, and that is really all that matters. Stuff is just stuff,
right? And the thing that pinged for me when she said you're trying to live a lifestyle that doesn't exist anymore, mm-hmm. And I kind of went whoa, because that lifestyle of holding on to things, of hoarding, people don't live that way anymore.
Oh my God, you can't.
You can't exactly, and it's like I'm trying to live that lifestyle and it doesn't exist. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, it's burying
wow.
you.
Yeah.
It literally burying you and making you feel stuck. And I think this is also a big part of your whole like guilt thing and getting rid of it means letting go and disrespecting her because she held on to everything. So to show your respect for her, you have to like hold a candle to that type of mentality. But buddy, I mean, there's so much going on with this and it's like, then they think you have to ask yourself, though, what other aspects of your lifestyle did you worry would have been hurtful to her?
Oh, you mean me being
I have no idea.
Of the sister of Sappho?
I don't know, because maybe not. My mom was actually fine with it. So I make jokes, but my mom's fine with it. Maybe your mom was, maybe she wasn't.
Yeah, she was, but we didn't. I mean, it wasn't a thing that we talked about. You know what I mean?
But if you didn't talk about it, then I wonder if you could have, you truly felt like she was okay with it.
Maybe.
Like, Heidi didn't ever talked about it with her parents. And we met when I think she was 28. And I was like, wait a minute. You're a homo. Your twin sister's a homo. And you don't talk about this with your parents? Like, you guys have been gay for 10 years, and like, how's that about? And then, you know, Fred and Joyce. I met Fred and Joyce, and I was like, what's up, Fred? Hey, Joyce, hey, girl! And let me tell you, these two people, right, from a totally, again, a totally different era, grew, you know, they, her dad worked on the Alaskan pipeline, like, they're, when I say simple, don't think I mean stupid. They're terrifyingly smart, but they're simple people. They, you know, they raised Heidi and Heather in a town of 6,000, small town in, you know, Selins Grove, like Pennsylvania. Now they've got an adopted black granddaughter from Haiti. You know, two queer daughters. I mean, and they're so cool. But Heidi never talked about it to them until me. And I was like, no, this is no way to live. With that said, though, the fact that you didn't talk to her about it suggests to me maybe, like, you had thought maybe it would upset her on some level.
Sure.
So, buddy, this is all a projection, and you've put it on the stuff. Stuff is nothing to do with the stuff. This is way deeper than that. Can you see that?
Yep. I do. And this and what you know, the shoulder whisperer.
Right.
Maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there is something to it. And I, you know.
Regardless of, honestly, whether there is or whether there isn't, you had major epiphanies.
I did.
So whether your shoulder is a new shoulder or not, you had a major epiphany because you were able to put your ego aside and just speak candidly about things that are painful for you.
And if you look at the big picture, that's what you talk about a lot, is take the self out of it. If you just take your ego out of it. There's a path to walk down, but man, it just stands in the way like this beast, you know?
Because it's scary. It's painful. So think about it. If you had to walk down that path, guess what you're going to have to deal with to get rid of that stuff?
Yeah.
You're going to have to look at how painful it was for you to maybe feel like on some level the choices you made and the person you were would have been disappointing to your mom. Whether that's true or not, it's a feeling that you obviously have inside because it's something that you didn't discuss with her. And it's something that you're like, okay, the gay stuff or the lifestyle choices or the this and the that was too painful. But the stuff thing, that's a good place to put it, where it's just safe enough and it's something I can manage.
No.
So I can live with all this stuff and make her happy and honor the things that she would have wanted. And let's put it here. But it's like it's just like what we do when we play out dysfunctional relationships with our parents, with a friend or a lover. Oh, God, I hate that word. A boyfriend, a girlfriend, or what have you. Lover is just too much information, don't you think?
I know. It's just a bit dirty.
Gee, dear God, no one needs to know.
No.
But with that said, my point is that it's easier to play those issues out in safer areas. So for you, it's the stuff. But, buddy, the reason that stuff stands in the way is because to deal with those feelings is going to be hard and painful and sad. And there might be moments of anger where no one wants to feel angry at their parents. And yet parents are not perfect. Right? Mm-hmm. So you never want to feel angry. Oh, we're so ungrateful. And because dealing with the fact that parents weren't perfect, but that they also loved you very much and you love them very much, that's hard. Because then it's like you feel guilty and you feel bad for being angry. But there might have been something she did that made you feel uncomfortable. Or you maybe wish that she had invited you to talk about your lifestyle more. Or, you know, and then there's going to be anger. And you don't want to feel angry at her. And then you're going to feel really guilty. And then you're going to feel really sad. And then she's gone. And then it's unresolved. And that's some tough shit to work through. But it can be worked through. And by the way, I think if we could just give people permission to feel what they feel without guilt. You know, it's normal to be angry at people you love. Doesn't mean you don't love them.
Right.
It doesn't mean you love them any less. It doesn't mean they don't love you. That's the nature of a relationship. A relationship has good and bad. It's not black. It's not white. It's gray. And it's learning how to deal with the good and the bad. And it's being okay to be like, I'm so hurt that we never had this connection. I'm so hurt that we were never able to talk about these things.
Right.
I'm angry at you. And by the way, it passes. You work through the hurt. You work through the anger. And you resolve yourself. And then you come to understand, like, it's sad. Like, this is the reason we couldn't have these conversations. And this was her background and the world she came from. And I grieve that.
Mm-hmm.
But the anger passes after you grieve through it. and then you can have that peace, but you got to go through the fire
right
first to come to the other side. And the fire's hard, dude. It's got to get more painful where you're standing
right
than the work associated with where you want to go to make you move.
Good point. Yeah.
So the shoulder's going to fall apart. The foot's going to fall apart. You're going to drown in a sea of shit. Boy, you're going to quack. You're a quack monster.
This is a quack show.
Yeah.
All right. Let's stop. Let's stop this segment.
I'm willing to do that.
Okay.
People are always telling me how they can't afford healthy food or gym memberships and so on, and how times are tough. We all know that. We've talked a lot about how to save money in other areas of your life so that you can prioritize your dollars effectively. I've talked about clipping coupons. That's kind of a pain. Nobody really goes into the paper anymore and like searches for coupons and clips them. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you get coupon codes for something and they've expired, and that's really frustrating. So we've got a new advertiser on the show, and I absolutely love this because I think it's going to be so helpful for everybody out there listening. It's called Tada.com. That's TADA.com, Tada.com. And here's what they do. You shop online, and these guys give you the most current discount codes for any company out there. Literally 6,400 stores they've got coupons for. So whether it's electronics, apparel, pet products, automotive, you name it, they've got the coupon codes for it. You can literally go on and search Office Depot, Bliss, Petco, and it'll pull up all of the current discounts and coupon codes and specials that they're running. You can shop online, use the code, and save a ton of money. It's absolutely awesome. So check out Tada.com now so you can start saving right away. All my listeners, please, this is a great way to really prioritize your dollars and save your hard-earned cash. It's coming up time to maybe post a photo of the old assaroo. And here's the thing. This is a multifaceted segment, I've decided. Because, mind you, how long have I been working with the ass man? Like 3 months? Maybe four, 3.5 months?
Not that long,
I think.
Hmm. Didn't you start in
November?
It was late November.
Something like that. And I think, so I'll tell you this much. There's still fat on my butt. And there's still cellulite. But the double butt is gone. You know what the double butt is?
The butt. You said you had an ass that hung below the ass.
Right. It goes leg, ass. Yeah. A little ass and then your ass.
Oh, you're going upwards. I was thinking downwards.
Either way you go, there's two asses there.
So you've lost the little ass.
The little ass is gone.
Wow.
Now, it's not like, you know, completely shredded ass. It's like it's not something that, you know, I would feel should go on the cover of Maxim magazine. Not that I would ever be offered Maxim or do Maxim, but you get the point. It's not Maxim worthy ass. However, it's getting there. And so two thoughts came to mind on this. The first one is, this actually is a segment about hunger, and I'm going to get there. But the first one is that, okay, it's not completely shredded in 3 months. And you know what? I'm okay with that. And one of the things I said to Dan, I was like, you know, Dan, For me to get this where I want this Dan the Ass Man trainer, I would have needed to have eaten perfectly the entire time we were training. Like, no alcohol of any kind, like, cut out all flour, all sugar, like, and I don't want to do that.
Right.
I don't want to. So, for me, it may take a year.
I love that you just said that. I don't want to.
I don't want to. Yeah. So, yeah. For me to get this ass where I want it to be, it's probably going to take me a year, I think. But it's like I'm making huge improvements. Like, it feels more solid. It's looking better. And that's incentivizing me. One of the things I thought about, though, is that, okay, so we're not exactly where I wanted it to be old by 40, it's not a Maxim cover ass, but it's better. And, you know, I've lived with this ass for 40 years. So I've got nothing but time to improve it. And that's one of the things I often say to people about their weight. It's like, well, it's not going fast enough, my weight loss. And it's like, you know, how long have you been overweight? You know, you've lived with this for a while. Like, the scale is going down. There's nothing but time to turn this thing around. Like, the only time frame is the one you've created in your mind. If you're being healthy and getting healthier, you're on the right path. It's not like you're wasting time. You're on the path. You're making progress. And to sometimes be a little bit more patient, because I don't want to be perfect with my diet. I just don't. I want to have a little more enjoyment because I don't think of food as just fuel. Mm-hmm. I do believe in balance. I do believe in, you know, a cake ball after dinner, or my new favorite thing in the world are these organic white chocolate peanut butter cups. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have 200 calories worth of those, you know, now every night. And it's like, makes me happy. That's life. That's what I'm having. You know, or the Unreal Snickers bar, or they're not Snickers, but the Unreal candy bars, which is like a Snickers, but without the chemicals. Like, I guess it's good. Like, I'm making progress, and even though it's not perfect in 3 months, I think there's something about the fact that it's like, no, I'm on my way, I'm on the right path, and I'm going to be a little more patient with the process, and it's going to take as long as it takes. Sometimes it doesn't always go on the desired time frame. But what this was really about, what I had intended it to be about, was that I swear to God, part of the problem is that I am starving. And so it's very interesting because there's been a lot of controversy over the years about how exercise makes you hungry. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of research out there that says yes, and there's a lot of research out there that says no. But what no one is creating is the distinction of when exercise makes you hungry and why. So, for example, you can take a Biggest Loser contestant and the exercise doesn't make them hungry. In fact, it helps to suppress their appetite. Now, it's not only the behavior of exercising. So it's called an incompatible behavior. You leave the gym and the last thing you think is, I'm going to light up a cigarette. Right. You know, you're going, I'm healthy. I think I'm going to get a cold pressed kale juice. That's generally, you know, you're like, I'm going to keep this going. I'm on a kick. And often, you know, when you're 50 pounds overweight or 100 pounds overweight, when you're beyond vanity pounds, the body wants to be thinner. It's going, let's get this off. This is, woo, let's go. Hell yes. Your body is an incredible machine. If you work with your body and you eat right and you move your body, it's going to do what it's meant to do. It only misfires when you operate your body in a way that it has not been designed to operate, like eating chemicals it doesn't recognize, or, you know, eating massive quantities of food with no physical activity. That's not how we were, that's not how our species evolved. Think of it. We were hunters and gatherers. Mm-hmm. We were on our feet. You know, you had to work to earn a living. You had to plant food. You had to hunt food. You had to build homes. You had to do all this. You know, only in the last 100 years have McDonald's, convenience stores, right, desk jobs. Like, that's all new. Our genetics have not caught up to this 50,000 years or however long the human species has been around. It hasn't functioned like this. When you treat your body the way it is meant to function, it's going to fall right into line. Stop eating foods it doesn't recognize, like fake sugar, fake fat, fake flavor, fake preservatives. Your metabolism is going to start to function optimally. Your immune system is going to start to function optimally. Now, with that said, it doesn't want to be 50 pounds overweight. That's why losing 100 pounds is very different than losing the last 10, up to even 20 pounds. Because when you start talking about 10 pounds, 15 pounds, you're talking about vanity weight.
Right.
And your body doesn't really want to lose that, especially as a woman. It's going, no, 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 whoa, no, 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 no. We're meant to have babies, and we need this much body fat. Body fat is not actually considered unhealthy. When you're obese, yes, that's considered unhealthy. Mm-hmm. But you need a certain percentage of body fat. Fat actually functions as a hormone. As a woman, you need a certain amount of body fat to reproduce. And when you start to get too thin, or your body fat starts to get too low, your body's like, it will signal your metabolism and release hunger hormones. It's like, we are starving. Hello. So I'm actually pretty lean. I don't have weight to lose.
Oh, girl, you are lean.
Well, I'm lean, but I don't want to actually lose weight. What I want to do is, unfortunately, I have to bring my body fat percentage down to change my ass. But my body, where we store fat, is genetically predisposed based on your hormone balance or your biochemistry. So a woman that has more testosterone is going to be keep the weight more in her stomach. A woman that is more estrogen dominant will keep the weight more in her hips and her thighs and her butt. Which is why men who are testosterone dominant, they don't have fat legs unless they have a hormone, but they have, right. It's all belly.
Yep.
It's all that heart attack fat. So for me, my body's like, okay, your boobs are going to go away to nothing. Your face is going to start to look gaunt. And, you know, the ass is hanging on for dear life. This is like, no! You know, so it is going to take a lot of time because you can't spot reduce fat. You can't. But I like slowly, you know, firming up the area and really trying to build that muscle underneath and improve the appearance. We're getting there, but I have been freaking starving because I'm like in the gym with this animal for 90 minutes, which I don't even believe in. I'm like, Dan, this is too much and I need to go. And he's like, no. 90 minutes is what athletes do. I'm like, no, a-hole. 30 minutes is what athletes do. I don't need to do 90 minutes. I can do 30 minutes. But he's just sick. He's a sicko.
The abuse that this man must
You have no idea. And I'm like, Dan, I have to go. Have children. And like, I wanted to kill his 3 o'clock the other day. So like, I went at 2:00 and he had a 3 o'clock who didn't show up. And an hour and 40 minutes later, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, I have to go! And I was like, this guy just was like, I can't make it. And I wanted to get his phone and be like, you son of a bitch! I mean, I was like, Dan, like, the stress hormone from this is going to be too much. But I see Dan, so like, I try to see Dan twice a week. Then I box with my boxing coach once or twice a week. If I can't see Chad twice a week, then I'll... Who's my boxing coach? I'll see Chad once, and then I'll either bike or I'll run, and then I do yoga once a week on Saturdays. So I've got my little routine, right? And those sessions with Dan, I have to space them out because I'm like, this is too much. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, if we're going to train this hard, like I really give myself recovery time and what have you. But I mean, it's like I'm like 90 minutes doing this. I must be burning 1,000 calories in there. Well, I have to tell you, it's like at night I'm going, how am I still hungry? How is this possible? And it's beyond craving. It's like, I'm still hungry. And one of the ways I really tell people, like, here's how I want you to check the difference between a craving and hunger. Think about a steak. Could you eat a steak right now? Could you eat a chicken? Could you eat a piece of salmon? Would you like a spinach salad? If the answer is no, you're not hungry.
That's interesting. The difference between hunger
and cravings.
And cravings.
Right. Totally different. And it's like, I'll be eating dinner, and not thinking, oh, I want a treat. Thinking like, I still want dinner. Like,
I still
want dinner. I mean, we'll go for sushi, and I'm like, I could do another roll. I'm like, what the hell? You know, or another order of cheese. And so I think there's just been so much controversy over the years. Exercise makes you hungry. And, oh, no, exercise. Well, the reality is, if you have weight to lose, no, it doesn't. If you don't really have weight to lose, yes, it does. And so then what you do if you're trying to transform your physique, as in decrease your body fat percentage and increase lean muscle tissue, then what you really do is you get to a place where you sort of draw a extremely minimal calorie deficit of like a few hundred calories a day. And you continue to exercise so... You're maintaining your muscle. You're not losing that muscle. Mm-hmm. And very gradually trying to get rid of that subcutaneous fat. And that way the hunger doesn't sort of run away with you. You don't end up binge eating. But and you don't lose muscle tissue. Because if your body is going, wow, we're putting out way too many calories and not taking enough in, it's going to become catabolic. Because muscle utilizes energy. Muscle is technically, if you're in starvation mode, a hindrance. And then your body goes into fat storage mode. So it's like, oh, no. I need body fat.
I need something.
Right. But muscle, oh, no. We're starving. We got to get rid of this. And it will start to break down your muscle. But that is the difference. So I just wanted to explain that.
So tell me something. If you I realize now you've seen a change in the ass, but you have come to the realization that if for the ass to change completely, this could be a year away.
I think it's probably, knowing myself and knowing the transformations that when I had personal training clients back in the day, the bodies like mine that I took from, let's say my ass right now, right, is now, like, I waist up, I'm sorry, like, my body, I consider it to be great shape, right? Great shape. Waist down was average. Ass was average. Legs were good. To take average, my ass is now okay, good. To take good to great, like me taking those good bodies to great bodies, like the pure experiments in vanity, exercises in vanity. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a movie star where you're going, okay, we got to get you ready for a movie. We got to get you ready for where they do every single day and everything is meticulous and the diet is meticulous. And yeah, you got to crash that. You can do it in 3 months.
That's what I was going to ask
you. I can do it in 3 months. But for me, I don't want to live in such a strict and strenuous fashion because I'm not doing this for a movie. I'm trying to get this thing to sort of last and stay for the rest of my life. I'm not an actor, or there's not an impending project, or I'm not going on tour. You know what I mean? So I can give myself a little more time. And I also know my psychology. Like, I'm going to be miserable if I don't get to have my peanut butter cup or, you know, I don't know, the occasional beer with my burger. I can't live like that. I need balance. It doesn't work for my brain. I will abandon the whole entire thing. So for me, getting there at a more gradual pace is fine with me. And the steady improvements keep me motivated. I'm like, you know, this thing's getting there. Like, I caught a glimpse of it in the mirror the other day because our bathroom has a mirror where it's like this U-shaped mirror. So, you know, there's the mirror on the wall and then the two sides of the wall that have mirror.
Oh, wow. That's so intense.
I know. I accidentally caught my ass in the mirror behind me. And I was like, oh. Okay. It didn't scare me.
It was acceptable?
Didn't scare me. There have been times. I was like, whose ass? That's mine! But it didn't scare me.
I know,
anyway, the point is I wanted to help clarify the whole hunger exercise thing for people.
No, that's very good. And very great nugget to be
nugget.
Able to... No, a wonderful nugget is to distinguish the difference between hunger and cravings. That's very fascinating. Hard, but fascinating.
Fascinating.
Thanking you very much for that.
As you should be. The fitness industry is booming. Huh? Did you know that?
I did.
Tis, Janice. Tis. And there's a huge demand for certified personal trainers. And you can earn a ton of money doing something that you love. NASM is one of the best certifying organizations out there. The National Academy of Sports Medicine is going to help you help others reach their fitness goals. This is so simple, guys. All you got to do to check it out is go to usatrainer.com. That's usatrainer.com, and they're going to give you a free 14-day sneak peek to their fast and fun online program. And on top of it all, this is the hard sell, these guys are going to guarantee that you will land a job within 60 days of your certification, or they'll give you your money back. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, what do you have to lose? If it's something you've been thinking about, take that step. Give it a try. It's the greatest job. I personally love it. If you're listening to the podcast, you obviously must be passionate about the topics of health and wellness. It's so simple. 14-day free trial. If you don't get a job, you get your money back. Go to usatrainer.com now to get your NASM certification today. Did you know that the most common New Year's resolutions are getting your life organized and starting a business?
I can see that.
Both you can do quickly at LegalZoom.com.
All right, now that I've said that, I got to be honest. These guys are really awesome. They can help you with just about anything. They really can. They've gotten an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau, which is a really big deal because every single time I feel like a place is not up to snuff and I don't get the services, I'm like, I am going to say something to the Better Business Bureau. So to get an A-plus means that you're doing a heck of a job.
Yeah.
They're just incredible, and a few of my friends have used their services and been so pleased. So I got to read you the mandatory disclaimer and offer for the legalese. Here we go. Ready? LegalZoom's step-by-step process was created by a team of experts in law and technology. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they can connect you with a third-party attorney, and they provide you with self-help services. For special savings, enter Jillian, my name, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, in caps, in the referral box at checkout. Now here's me. Do not let another month go by before you take care of these things for your family and your business. Seriously, from wills to business formation, trademark applications, powers of attorney, and even bankruptcy, these guys can help you with all of it. They really are just fantastic. It's an incredible service. They make things that seem very overwhelming and very scary, very easy and very simple and very affordable. And all you got to do is go to LegalZoom.com. Okay, we have a very special segment. We're cutting lunch short because Jake is concerned. Son of Bruce Paul is concerned. Talk to me.
So, Dad comes home from the doctor.
Bruce
here he
Paul.
Is. Comes home from the doctor. And do you mind if I say your weight?
No, I don't care.
He's, all my life, you know, he's a big dude. He's 6, what are you, 6'3"?
Yeah, but you're not overweight, but that doesn't matter.
Right. Anyways,
well, you're not a heavy guy.
He at a good weight, he was about 2 to 205. Okay. You were there for a while, right?
I was.
Can you working, come on, microphone.
All right.
Oh,
that's
oh,
right.
Boy.
Is that what this is? Okay, got it.
We're having
so
an intervention.
He was at, you know, 2, 205.
Okay.
He's still strong. He's, you know, he's active, but he gets winded even walking upstairs and stuff.
Okay.
Now he's 233, and the doctor said, you need to change your eating habits. You know, his cholesterol used to be good. Now it's gotten worse, has
okay,
it not?
Okay, so, right. So here's the thing. Here's what's interesting about this is that, all right, 233, and how tall are you, babe?
6'3".
Right. So normally you'd be like, well, that's not bad at all. That's not, quote, fat. But it just because you're not, quote, fat, doesn't mean you're not unhealthy. And it sounds like if the doctor's giving you like a, hey, dude, that means there are some markers to worry about, and you're saying the cholesterol, okay?
And you know, it's been a hey, dude for a while, but now it's like a actually, yo, I'm serious.
What the doctor said was that it's mostly in my gut, and the weight of my gut is actually pressing against my organs.
Yep.
And that's causing problems.
Okay. So it's a serious conversation the doctor had with you, yeah? Obviously he's
yeah, it was,
like
it was pretty serious.
Okay. And so then, Jake, so why are we having this call? I get it. Why are we having this talk right now?
Because, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, I really love having him around.
And wait, go back to the... Okay, so during the break, Jake told me that he was super upset and I needed to talk to you because...
Oh, you know, he comes home and tells me all this that the doctor told him. And then my new stepbrother the other day brings to my attention, he goes, yo, your dad, like, you know, he needs to change his eating habits. He just cooked this giant steak, and before the steak, he just heated up a chimichanga, and then he had a pie afterwards, whatever. And then I come home, and he's eating a giant steak, and he's got a bowl with a quarter stick of butter in it ready to pour some pasta over that, and then eats pie right afterwards. And the only way I could get through to him is to ruffle his feathers, and then I think it works the opposite, and he kind of just says, screw you. And
yeah.
Well,
okay.
At
okay,
that
so
point, I was getting ready to enjoy that meal. Now, let me say something first. He always catches me when I'm eating the bad stuff. I don't eat it every single day.
You eat it enough to be in trouble, babe.
What's that?
You eat it enough for the doctor to be worried.
Right, that's true.
So
but
that's too
I was
much.
Mad at him because I wanted to enjoy my meal that I knew was bad for me anyhow, and it made me feel he made me feel more guilty for eating it, so I wasn't enjoying it.
Okay. So first of all, let me tell you, you can do one thing, and that's express your concern, right? So okay. So the first thing you need to do is express your genuine concern with all the emotion attached to it. What is your genuine concern?
My genuine concern is that he's unhealthy, and I know our family has history, heart history, heart problems and stuff like that. And thank God, you know, he quit smoking when I was younger. So there's not that big of risk. But when the doctor's telling him something's up, you know, I don't want to get a call in a week, in a month, in a year. Hey, dude, I'm at the hospital. It's serious. Or your dad's at the hospital. It's serious. I want him to make his odds at staying around longer better.
And how does it make you feel when you think you could get a call on any given day that your dad's had a heart attack and is no longer here?
It's a lot more stress just to have that around, just to go around and you know. And you know, I don't want to be a drama queen about it. It's not a huge concern.
Dramatic. It's a huge concern. It bothers me. It's a huge concern.
It's scary because I still am semi-dependent just in life to have him here. And I'm still, you know, every day I talk to him and learn a new thing, or he helps me get through a different thing, and it would suck to not have that there.
I think, can you tell your dad your greatest concern and the loss you would experience should something happen tomorrow?
It'd be pretty tough, man.
I understand.
Here's the thing, babe. Paul, it's like, we got, and something you said was very interesting to me, because you had said to him, like, just let me enjoy my food. And so there's something in the food, it sounds like, and I've noticed a lot of this with people who feel like they make sacrifices in a lot of different areas, right? And it's like, I sacrifice here, I sacrifice there, I take care of business, I'm being responsible in all these different ways. And this is my, it's my favorite line that I heard from Oprah. I've told you this is my treat. When Bob was like, does Dr. Oz know you're drinking that? It was like some diet soda. And she was like, don't F with me. This is my treat. And it sounds like you've made this food the way you treat yourself. Is that?
Oh, that's exactly it. I mean, now, I haven't thought of it that way, but now that you say that, sure. That's exactly what it is.
There are two ways to get around this issue, because here's what's so ridiculous about, quote, weight loss, right? It's simple. You're so smart. You know that it's like, we don't eat the stick of butter and the piece of pie and the chimichanga and the whole steak. You know, I know you know that. You know that. But it isn't that simple, because even though you might have that information, it's not that simple with regard to the emotional aspects of it, with what the food means to you. And so to gain some perspective, first of all, there's got to be something else where you can find a reward and a way to nurture yourself and a way to care for yourself that isn't destructive. And it's very easy to be like, I know, okay, sure. And you can, like, I'm six foot three or whatever, and I'm 233 pounds. Give me a break. I'm not 300. But the reality is, I can't tell you how many men like yourself. I just was sitting with a friend of mine who's not even 50, and you wouldn't even know, right? He was one of Andy's clients. And he had a 95% blockage, and he had a massive heart attack. They called it like the Widowmaker, almost didn't make it. And he has three kids, and he's like, I'm not a huge fat guy. It doesn't matter. The reality is, this is your reality. You're getting like the wake up call. The signs are being thrown up in the air. The reality is that if you don't change something, you have put your life in serious jeopardy. And one of the ways to sort of get out of that place where that food is so comforting is to think about, in truth, what it will cause. So when you look at a meal like that, I don't really want you to enjoy your food in that way. I want you to enjoy a certain amount of your food, but not that much food. And I want you to look at that, and I want you to see him at your funeral. Mm. Because that's what you're going to be facing is, you will see him at 24, still very much a boy. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. I think every day, like, oh, my God, what will I do the day that we lose? I'm going to be hysterical the way you're going to be. Like, what would I do the day that we lost my mom? And I'm 39. And it's like, I think about my kids. I think about, like, where will I go? Where will I turn to? I will truly be an orphan in the world. And I know you love your mom, but it's no secret that you two have a particularly close relationship, honey. He, like, I need you to think about that not so that you feel guilty, but so that you appreciate the end result of that behavior. And concurrently, you need to really do some work, Paul, on other ways to blow off some steam, man.
You mean...
have fun. To feel pampered. Like, what else do you do that's going to make you feel like you've prepared this meal and it sounds like... it's something to look forward to and there's a ritual to it and it's something you do for you and you've earned the food, right? And I see that a lot with especially with men. They're just like, I'm a good husband. I'm a good provider. I'm a good dad. Get off my back. Because there's so much sacrifice. But the problem is what you're not seeing is how that's robbing you of so much of your life. Because in the moment, it's like, I can afford it. It's accessible. It fits into the lifestyle. It's my, quote, treat. It's my reward. So when you think about what that food is providing for you in the moment, right? Like, you just wanted to enjoy the meal. Like, is that how it feels? Like, when you sit down for your food and you've gone through the prep of it, like, how is it making you feel? Without thinking about Jake right now.
Right. And I tell you the truth, I don't think about consequences.
Of course not.
For him, I might think about it. It's unhealthy for me, but I should. I enjoy the taste of the food, and you know that's what gives me pleasure.
Right, right. I get it. So, you deserve pleasure in life. You deserve it. We all do. But you're gonna have to make some changes so that you're finding pleasure in other things.
Right.
So you got to look at, like, where have I cut back too much? Or where have I been too restrictive? Or, like, where did I not take that vacation because I was busy paying for X, Y, or Z? Or where did I not pick something that you've sacrificed or given up or foregone? And you're going to have to start incorporating those things back in.
But it'd have to be a daily thing, though, not just like a vacation, which just comes once in a while. It'd have to be something, you know, we could do it on a daily basis. I mean, I like to hike. I look forward to hiking. I like poker. I look forward to playing poker. Those things.
But poker, you also connect with drinking, so that's kind of, you have to disconnect those two.
Yeah, that's true,
but,
too.
No, you're absolutely right, Jillian, when you say, you know, he works super hard. He does all this stuff, and right now we're renovating the house. I mean, he's got a million things to do, and he just takes this one thing, and you're right. He says, I do all this stuff. Just let me have this. What Jillian is saying, what can you find that you could do every day that you could have that instead?
And there's different things, honey. It's like, I get that mentality, and there are days when I'm like, you know what, enough. Like, there are days where I have that day where I'm like, enough's enough, and I'm having the glass of wine tonight. And we've been on this Project Awesome thing, right? And I'm like, I'm not going to drink for 2 weeks. I'm not going to drink. And yet, you know, my friend Allison comes over, and it's like, I'm not drinking. I had like a half a glass of wine. The night before that, Heidi and I had a date night, and I had another half a glass of wine. And I was like, and it's, well, but I deserve it. And I think it's not to say we give up everything, honey. You can incorporate, okay, I'm going to have the steak, but not the chimichanga, and I'll have a half a piece of pie. You can incorporate that stuff in a more moderate way, as long as you counterbalance it with activity. But another thing that I'll do is I'll say, like, I'm going to ride my horse. That's one thing I really like. I'm going to, you know what? I'm not going to go to music class with the kids today. Then Nanny can take the kids to music class. I'm going to go ride my horse, and they don't care. They're off playing with the other 3 to 5-year-old. And Heidi's like, I got to go to music class. I'm like, you know what? If you're still in that headspace, God bless you. You go to music class. I'm going to go ride the horses. And when I see the kids later, I'm going to be in a better mood anyway. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what? We're going to get a sitter because I've wanted to see Wolf of Wall Street, and they'll be fine. They go to bed at 7 o'clock anyway. So we left at 6:30. So what? Or what is it? Or even if it's, I want to watch a marathon of my favorite show, or even if it's, I want to I do not mean this in a perverted way. Go to the Thai massage place and get a massage for $40 or whatever. I want you to start thinking about different ways that you can treat yourself, like what you said. And it can't always be the same thing, honey, but maybe you make a schedule. Like, this night you play poker. This night you get a massage at the little Thai place down the street. And I say that because it's cheap and they're good at what they do. And this night is your movie night. And give yourself something where you've built in an incentive. And subsequently, It's not to say there is no food. I want you to look at, like, how you get X amount of calories a day, allot it to what you want to allot it to, so you don't feel restricted. But know that it's like spending money. So you're not spending money you don't have. Don't consume calories that you haven't earned. So if you're going to have a piece of that pie, then you need to have gone hiking that day.
Right.
Or have gone for a jog. Maybe one thing you guys could do together, you want to gain weight, you want to, you know, combat weight gain. Maybe you guys could have, like, I don't know, an activity you do together where you go to the gym or you...
We should box each other.
Oh, that would help on many levels.
Maybe we could do, I have a better idea. Maybe there's like, look, there's like MMA classes and mixed martial arts studios. Maybe you guys could do that together like a couple times a week, which could be a great stress relief and a lot of fun. I think, I don't know that boxing each other, I'm not so sure.
Well, see, if I was the one that knocked him out cold,
you're,
you know, I'm responsible.
No, I put my money on Paul.
I would too.
I'm way quicker than he is.
No, you can't underestimate the power of dad strength.
Yeah.
Dad strength.
I'm telling you, I've trained a lot of people, and it's always those parents that, yeah, I can't. I'd be careful there, bucko. I'm just saying. Like, I want you guys to really work on that and think about building something in every day and giving yourself permission. And the next time you kind of look at that whole meal, I really want you to just stop for a second. And I want you to see your funeral and him sitting there, because that is the reality, right? Every choice has a consequence, honey. And if you think, like, it's not going to be me, though, but it is. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of time. Will it get you tomorrow? 3 years? I don't know, maybe. Will you be gone by the time he's 30? Likely. If your doctor's like, yo, dude, not funny. Without a doubt. And I'll tell you, here's the great thing about the human body, is that I could take you from today to 2 weeks from now and bring you into the doctor, and I bet he'd be like, oh, my God. That's how
resilient, it is.
Resilient the body is. It's that amazing. If we, like, you know, granted, we would have to, like, Biggest Loser change everything, sure, which is not necessary, but that's how resilient the body is. So I want you to think about that the next time that you're like, I deserve it. See that picture in your mind's eye and make a different choice. And build those choices in now ahead of time. And then plan those treat foods, counterbalance them with some activity. Because, sweetheart, it's... And, of course, you're like, you're taking away the thing that makes me happy. And I, you know, do all this for you. Stop taking away the thing that makes me happy.
No, yeah, you're absolutely correct. And he's correct in saying it, too. It's just the timing of it. I mean, it's just getting ready to eat it. And, you know, I heard everything you said, but that particular thing was, tell me earlier in the day or late afterwards or whatever, but...
I just happened to walk right in the door.
Yeah. And, you know, like I say, I don't eat steak every single day.
It's not the steak, though.
Or whatever it is, and he's exaggerating a little bit.
Mm.
But
he's not exaggerating enough for it to be an exaggeration, unless you told me that he's exaggerating with what the doctor said.
No, the doctor said I definitely have to, go on a diet, a strict diet.
Then something's wrong, honey. Yeah. Then it doesn't matter if he's exaggerating or not. There's something's wrong there. So it doesn't matter if that meal was an exaggeration or not. The reality is, if the threat is real, then there has to be a change.
All right. Well, let's do it.
Don't count on me.
What? No, I mean, don't we'll count
do
it together.
No,
don't.
Jillian was saying, let's do it together. Let's, you can
don't
put
count on
weight.
You. You're supposed and to gain 15 pounds.
Right, and I'll lose 15 pounds.
Don't be a
I'll try.
Yeah, don't count on you. Shut up.
I will work with you, but you can't stop if I can't gain 15 pounds.
Right, it's not life or death if you gain 15 pounds. Yeah. I understand that.
No,
part.
But you got it. There's definitely a certain amount of, like, if there's a let's do it, if he's going to tell you how he's going to want to support, you got to be involved.
If you need my support to do it, I'd be more than happy to give up half an hour of this or that or whatever to work with you to do that.
You need to be going to the gym anyway. Yeah. You owe me 15 pounds.
No, really, though. I will be there for you.
All right, well, then I would like... Okay, so where are we? We're 233?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking for a pound a week. We don't need to... Like, this doesn't need to be... You could lose 20 pounds in a month. But I'd rather see you do it more slowly. And because I think you'll feel the... You won't feel the drastic aspects or the... I don't want you to feel... people do really bad when they feel deprived.
Sure.
I feel like we've had a good talk.
I feel like that, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, see? And we didn't even need to take a call today. We had it all right here in our little office.
That's right.
Big. All right. Let's make this happen.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.